tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 2nd of October, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we are halfway through the week, and that means that we have revisionist historian Carolyn Yeager with us today from carolynyeager.net. Carolyn, how are you doing there? How's Texas?
Well, Texas is doing really well. I mean, it's a beautiful, cool morning. I've been out for my walk already, had a lovely walk and visited with a neighbor and just kind of took my time. And it was nice and cool yesterday, so I love to go out in the morning and feel cool air instead of warm air. So it's great. And fall is coming. I like the fall. I like the fall and the spring best, and I don't like the deep winter or the deep summer so much, but they're tolerable.
I don't blame
you. So that was more than you wanted to know.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's a great, because of course that's going to be quite a contrast to how Austria is that we're going to be discussing today. The results of the Austrian election and the things that have happened since then, because we were really hoping the Freedom Party were going to do better than they did, but I still don't think that they really done that badly, and I don't know whether whether the People's Party are actually going to go into a coalition with them or not. I mean, it's all up in the air, but I know that you're going to have a much more informed opinion than me. So just what's been happening over there, and what are your thoughts on the Austrian election, Carolyn?
Okay, well, I definitely have thoughts. It's I don't think there is that much information out there to be had. But of course, the latest development, which I just read about this morning, is that Heinz Christian Strache, the longtime head of the Freedom Party, who got hit with that scandal video, that secret video, and changed the whole picture in Austria, is announced he's withdrawing from politics. And suspending his membership in the party because of the election results. So, you know, they think it's worse than you say. You don't think it's too bad, but they are not taking that position. They're taking the position that it's quite bad because now there's a thing here that says that from 2017, which is, I guess, their best results that they ever had, In this election, in 2019, they're down 10 from what they got in 2017. So they got only 16% of the vote, and they were expected to get around 20, which was down from the 26 that they had in the past gotten because of this scandal that the establishment made as much out of as they could and still are. You know, exaggerating it and, you know, kind of misrepresenting some things as they always do. But and their comments are that, you know, they're disappointed and they feel like they have to really do a lot of work in order to build themselves back up again, which they intend to do. And so Strache has said, here's a comment by him, out of loyalty for my supporters, it is essential that I avert any further damage to the Freedom Party and prevent any internal divisions. He said this at a press conference in Vienna yesterday morning. But anyway, so that's a big development, and I'm sure they all discussed it and felt that in order for them to rebuild the party, they think it's, you know, they don't want to lose any more. You know, I mean, if they would start on a losing streak and start losing more, that would be disastrous. So I think they probably all say, yeah, they're not happy about it, but we have to let you go. And, you know, his wife ran for a seat in Parliament, Straka's wife, who he was only got married a few years, two, three years ago. I never have found out if she won or not. I assume she was in a district that she would win in, but I don't know. So that's a tragedy. Like all these tragic stories, I think of Greek tragedies. There's a flaw in the hero. You know, there's a hero has made mistakes, but he's still a noble person and an unfortunate victim, you might say. And it's a tragedy, you know, that everything is so destroyed, but that's what we've got here, I think. And he's done the right thing all along. He immediately took responsibility. He immediately stepped aside. And they didn't want him to have to leave or, you know, be completely gone. But I think they've made that decision. So that's a big result from this. Now, you had said you've been reading what the BBC says. And in relation to what I said, is there anything there that from the BBC that would be of interest?
Well, not about him resigning, but every BBC article has pointed out the scandal that caused the coalition to fall apart. And every BBC mm-hmm. article refers to the Freedom Party as the far right party. And they don't refer to the Social Democrats as the far left party. They just refer to them as the left party. And why I was saying I don't think they did too badly. I mean, they still got 16%. So Sebastian Kurz's party, the People's Party, they still could conceivably form a coalition with the Freedom Party and have a majority, because I don't think they're going to want to form one with the Social Democrats. And if they don't go with the Social Democrats, they have to go with the Greens and the New Left, which is certainly not going to be stable. It makes sense for them to form a coalition with the Freedom Party, because they're both in the same direction. They're both in the same sphere of politics. They're not going to fall out, basically. I mean, that's the way it seems to me.
Right. Well, you know, I was thinking exactly the same way. I see it just the same way. However, I'm not sure that the Freedom Party wants to be in this government, because it would be a weaker than they had expected element within it. You know, if they thought they would get 20% at least, and they only got 16, then they're, and now let's tell the audience that Kurz's People's Party got 37% of the vote. So they're considered, we're calling that a landslide. It's not a majority, but, you know, they're clearly the big leader. So, and they got a lot of that increase that they got. I think they're 7% over what they had last time. They got that from the Freedom Party, what the Freedom Party lost. So, the Freedom Party's in a weak position, and they may not want to go into this government. At least Norbert Hofer, right after the election results, he said that in answer to questions, you know, from reporters about being a part of the coalition government, he said his party would prefer to sit on opposition benches. He said a party needs to learn from the mistakes of the past and rebuild itself. And Kickl is talking the same way about rebuilding. Kickl said, and you know, just in relation to this, you know how the Social Democrats have given in to pressure to be a part of Merkel's government, because she needed, you know, them, and she needed that they were more close to what she needed for her to have to build a government. She didn't have a majority either. And they have just lost and gone downhill from there. And that's why their leader said, it was that German guy who was leading, said, we're not going to be a part of the government again. And then he was out, and another person, that woman, took control of the party as the party leader, and she agreed with after talks and so on with Merkel's party to be a part of the government again, because they present it as you have to do your patriotic duty. You know, we need you to do this to keep the far right parties, as they call them, like the AfD in Germany, you know, away. We have to have a successful government. So now they've only continued to go down. They're dying. And so the Freedom Party in Austria sees this. They don't want the same thing to happen to them. And Kickl's remarks were, I'm going to read some of it because I thought it was good. And he said, we know from the polls that we were on course for 20% until a week before the election. What came then cost us this respectable result. The severity and force of the accusations made against our former chairman, Heinz Christian Strache, by the media made us unconscious. We fainted because in the short time available, the full election campaign, we were not in a position to deal with them. So what he means is that they weren't able to answer all this, all the new accusations and media blitz that was going on against Strache. They didn't have time to do it because they were in the last week of campaigning and all their members and so on for their own little elections. That's what he means by that. He says now the voter recovery is going to start. We have to get these voters back. He says what we were powerless about was the feeling of insecurity among the voters. But immediately after the reproaches have been dealt with, we will start the voter recovery project with fresh energy in view of the shift to the left, meaning, you know, that he's even saying the People's Party is further left than they are, which is true. A strong FPÖ is all the more necessary. We are facing up to this responsibility. So they're concerned about their party. And this is the why Strache has taken this step he has, because he puts the party first ahead of his own personal, because he's got nothing without the party anyway, you know. So, you know, they've made this decision altogether, I'm sure, and as thinking that this was necessary to actually cut him off, you know, as the face of the party, because they're not going to be able to overcome this Ibiza thing. So that is, to me, is the big news, and it will be, and now I agree with you that, very likely, Kurz, the big winner, is that his best thing is to bring the Freedom Party into his party, because they got 16%, and he does not want to be on the left. He's not on the left. I heard it on the radio the other day in my car that the Greens were saying that they don't think they can get an agreement with Kurz that is liberal enough for them. You know, they're really liberal, and they're concerned with making a big deal out of climate change and also something about an immigration, you know, unrestricted, allowing immigration to take place. And Kurz really doesn't like the immigration. He's sincerely against that. Some people in his party are a little more easygoing on it than him, but he's got the strong support in his party now. He doesn't have any challenge, so he's going to do it his way. So I think he would want to have the Freedom Party, but they're not going to have the strength in the government that they had before. You know, they had the vice chancellorship and they had the interior minister. That was Kickl. And that's what makes the decisions on immigration. And right, and that right. There was a growing problem with anger about Kickl and his moves toward shutting down these ways that for people to come into the country. So
they'd be junior
partners. This is where it's going to be. Go ahead.
So they'd be junior partners, effectively, if there was a coalition. But one observation, or something that I think may have happened, is that the People's Party have benefited from the Freedom Party's input. And instead of the Freedom Party benefiting from that, obviously the people are happy with the coalition and what the coalition did. But instead of the Freedom Party benefiting from that because of the scandal, the People's Party have benefited from it. The People's Party, mm-hmm. I think, have benefited from being further to the right than they would have been before, if you see what I mean there. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not going to be to his benefit to go with the left or the Greens. But no. It's not going to be to the Freedom Party's benefit so much to go in coalition.
But I don't know. So now here, I would say maybe maybe Hofer is just positioning them. And Hofer and Kickl are the leaders of the party now. And they may just be positioning a stance that says, we're not sure we want to be in this. It's not going to be good for us. You know, we're not sure that we want to be a part of the government, so that they get a better deal, so that Kurz has to offer them more to get them to be a part. And then if they get the deal they feel they need, they might do it. But I think there is a real fear of weakening your party by being a junior partner in a government, because that's what's happened to the SPO, SPO in Germany. And, you know, it's very clear to see. And so it's going to be interesting how it will turn out. As everybody says, it's going to take a while. It's not going to be a fast deal. It's going to be a lot, maybe not till Christmas. So in the meantime, you have the this pretend government running things and waiting, because they're not in power. Kurz is not in power yet until he can put a government together that then gets the approval of the president of the country. And I don't know if it needs the approval of parliament or not.
What do you make of Kurz himself, Carolyn? Because I've seen some reports that say that he's good, and I've seen other reports that say that he's not good. I mean, what do you make of him as a character, as a man, as the leader of Austria?
Well, I think he's certainly better than the leaders of the other left wing parties, and I think he cares about Austria. I think he's a sincere patriot, but he's young and he's got a long political career ahead of him, and he wants to be popular, he wants to win, and so he doesn't want to be extreme. He doesn't want Austria to be seen as extreme. He wants to have the, get along with the European Union and all the people in there. And he wants to be on the conservative side, and he wants to be, he's not going to take the strong anti-immigrant position that, say, Kickl was working toward, which was no immigration for a while, stop it and move these people back to their home countries that are already there, and cut back on benefits you give them and all this stuff that the left starts screaming about and, yelling, Nazi, Nazi. So he doesn't want to be called a Nazi. So
moderate, because I've heard that he's praised Viktor Orban for stopping the immigration there. Mm-hmm. But what I would really hate to see is something like what's happening in Italy at the moment. I mean, all the good work that Matteo Salvini has done in Italy is now being undone, and the mm-hmm. boats are arriving on the shore again, and the Italians are furious about it, but they can't do anything because they've got this new coalition that leans towards the left. I would hate to see that happening in Austria, because as you say, they had started to do a lot of good, removing the benefits, stopping the immigrants from coming in. Do the Greens have a strong position on immigration then? Are they pushing for that as much as, the climate change stuff,
Yeah. They're very liberal. This thing of calling them an environmental party and stuff, Yeah, they played that up. That's how they started. And that was back, you know, pretty long ago when environmental issues were really big in Germany, and they didn't have the kind of issues that are there now. They didn't have the immigration issue to this extent. And so they got connected with that. But they are very far left. I think there's farther left than the Social Democrats, if you want to know the truth. Social Democrats are more reasonable. These people are not reasonable. And they're, so I wouldn't want to see them in the government at all. And I don't think Kurz wants to see them. And they, let me tell you a story. I was listening to this on the radio. I think it was Monday then. And, I have to have this National Public Radio FM news program on, in my car. That's all I can get. So, that was playing, and they had, the news was on. It was BBC. It was the BBC hour. They have an hour from there. And, they were talking about this, and they were interviewing a Greens representative who was actually a leader of the Greens, but like 2 years ago, and he was no longer in the current leadership, but was, you know, had been a leader. And she was giving her view. Boy, was she hardcore. And she said the so-called Freedom Party, the racist party. And then later on, she just named it the racist party. She said she was talking about the party. She said, and the racist party is such and such. I was just shocked, you know, and that moderator person didn't say a word or say, oh, well, and that, you know, that's not the name of it. You know, I mean, she couldn't even call it the Freedom Party. She hated it so much. She had to call it the racist party. I never heard anything that bad. And that's our public broadcasting here in the United States. And I compare that to like what DW, Deutsche Welle, is in Germany, and I guess close to the BBC in Britain. I mean, you know, they are so obviously biased. It's infuriating, really infuriating.
Yeah, they've got scandals on at the moment with the BBC about whether the newsreaders are allowed to call people racist or not. And they've gone beyond that. They've said, oh, yes, it's perfectly fine for them to call them racist, but we have an issue with them speculating on the reasons for the racism, because they just censored a black newsreader for saying that Donald Trump's tweets about sending the four communists back to their own countries. She said, oh, the reason for doing that is because he wants to stir up violence against Mexicans and stir up violence against blacks. And she's got away with it as well. She was criticized for it because there were these complaints. And then all the black newsreaders got together and said, how dare you punish this newsreader for calling out racism? And now the BBC have walked it all back and said, oh, no, that's okay. We can't criticize her for that. That's absolutely fine. So they've now set a precedent where black newsreaders can just launch into tirades against Donald Trump or any other politician they like under the excuse that, oh, they're racist. And they're supposed to be unbiased, as you say. They're supposed to present a balanced view, and they're supposed to challenge other people's views when they hear them. And they don't. They're just, it's gradually changing. Well, it's pretty much always been a platform, but it's now a really overt platform for pushing
liberal ideas. That's it. It's more overt. Ideas. It's all more, so much more overt. Having to pretend like you're fair is no longer there. You don't have to.
Yeah, the mask is off completely.
And what's going on in the United States with Trump is just amazing, you know. But, you know, in my opinion, the media in the U.S. is not as sophisticated as yet, not yet, not quite, oh, they're getting there, as what is in Europe. And I can't actually speak for the United Kingdom, but, you know, it's probably true there too, but this this business in Europe is that they're just so everything that the Deutsche Welle puts out is just not fair, you know. It's just not at all. It's so biased. They're just going story after story after story about radicalism, right-wing radicalism in Germany, how dangerous it is. Oh, the police raided somebody's home and they found some weapons and, oh, they're going to, you know, and then there's this going on and that going on. They just play it up. They call it terrorism, you know, and they're going to prosecute these people as terrorists. I feel so sorry for these people in Germany who try to, you know, be some kind of an opposition, and they're just attacked. By the way, now they're back to Chemnitz and trying to play that up again because these people are on trial or something. It's awful.
They've really got it in for Chemnitz.
I think they're better at fooling the people there than the ones here in the United States. They're not fooling people, but there are a lot of people who want to be fooled or who just want to believe that. You know, I know a couple in my family, and you just can't talk to them. You just can't. I mean, there's no point. There's no sense there. There's no reasoning at all. You know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but it's it's leading to just civil war everywhere.
People get stuck in their ways, don't they? Is Austria as bad as Germany? I mean, we know that Germany's got that special constitution, and anybody that stands up for Germany as a political party, they could be banned. Is it as serious as that in Austria?
Well, they have all these laws. Austria passed all these same kind of laws. I don't know if they have the same kind of security system that is spying on everybody in the country, but Austria is as bad. And unless they would get a more right-wing government there, which they're making progress at until they were pushed back by this video sting thing. And, you know, that Ibiza video, they had it for 2 years before they put it out to the public, before that last election. And it wasn't even the biggest election that they ever had. I don't know why they did it then, but they did. And I would say it had a delayed reaction because it was right before the election. And so it didn't have that big of an effect on that election because people have already made up their minds. And, you know, people it takes a while for all that to sink in.
Do you mean
in.
The EU election?
But since they've been pushing it ever since, now in this election, you see that that the damage that it did.
Was it the EU election that they brought it out just in time for? Is that what you were referring to there?
Which
one? The European Union election.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It was the European Union election.
So
it's kind of funny that they brought it out then. But
yeah, strange.
I don't know what their thinking is, but that's when they brought it out. And they had it for 2 years. Why didn't they use it? I mean, that in itself condemns the people who had it and held it back from the public's knowledge. And I do believe that Straka was vice chancellor at the time that video was made. Unfortunately, if he hadn't have been, then I guess it wouldn't have had much, wouldn't have been so damaging because he didn't have any power of just his party. Maybe, I'm not even sure about that. I have to go back and check that.
Well, it seems he's done the right thing, I think, to resign now to try and distance himself from the party so that they can say, look, that wasn't anything to do with anyone else. That was just to do with him. And he stepped down. So we're a clean party again now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's good of him to do that, I think.
I think so. But it's also very sad because he's been so essential and important in the party. He's worked so hard. He's been so popular, and you know, it's sad that he has to do that. And I'm sure none of them like it, but they've all decided that it needed to be done.
And Norbert Hofer's pretty good as well, isn't he? He's been with them a long time. I mean, they were putting him forward to be president, and he did very well, didn't he? I mean, that was a scandal as well. It was only the postal votes that meant that he lost. And there were far more postal votes sent in than there actually were people. But from what I can read of it, the Freedom Party, they just wanted to not fight it. They didn't want all the scandal that would be around fighting it and all the bad press. So they just gave in.
Yeah, they didn't want to look like poor losers. And they didn't think they'd come out ahead winning it in the end anyway, and if they fought it, so they and they might not have had a very strong case, because all that voting stuff is hard to understand. But you know, the establishment always has the advantage, and they can, you know, in a fight like that, they'll probably win. So, oh, it's happened so many times, and we're just up against this something that's so big and to me so awful. But there we have all these people who are willing to fight it, thank goodness. So yeah. What's going to happen with Boris? Poor old Boris. You know, I try to follow that. There's not much about that either. But he's now they're coming at him with sexual accusations again. They always pull this stuff out of the hat, don't they?
Yeah. Just the same as they're going after Donald Trump. I think he's going to do well. I think he's got two ways that he can actually get us out of the EU. On the 31st of October, he can either use the Civil Contingencies Act and say, because there's going to be civil strife, that means we can use this act, which means we don't have to obey the law. And the second way he can do it is to say, well, I don't have to obey this new law saying we can't leave without a deal, because British law is subservient to EU law. And EU law says with Article 50, we have to leave on October the 31st. So I think Boris is doing well. I think he's gone up in the polls. And I think the British public are sick to death of all these Remainers and all these attacks they keep throwing at him. I think he's just going to. He's just going to improve, basically. His opinion polls are just going to improve. And as soon as we get a general election, I think so long as he's pulled us out of the EU, the Conservatives will win. And I do think we're actually seeing some good Conservatives as well. Jacob Rees-Mogg, Marc Francois, the Attorney General was brilliant the other day. I mean, we're actually seeing some genuine old school elite Englishmen actually having their say in Parliament, which I've found really encouraging. Thank you so much for coming on today, Carolyn. That's great what we've gone through there, what's going on in Austria. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
Radio Aryan. At Radio Aryan. Dot.